Hello, and welcome to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. In 1956, Earl Nightingale recorded The Strangest Secret, launching a new era in self-improvement. Over his lifetime, he created thousands of radio and audio programs exploring success, purpose, and meaning. This project is my personal reflection on those ideas, what they meant then, and how they apply now, as I work to put them into practice and invite you to come along for the ride.
Episode 44, Bad to Good. As Earl Nightingale reminds us, people don't need to be educated nearly as much as they need to be reminded. This series is about remembering the truths we probably already know and learning how to live them. This week's episode is brought to you by William Krause III's Day Laborer Services. Do you have a hard time finding quality day laborers? Do you feel like your $2.25 an hour just doesn't go as far as it used to? Are you tired of day laborers without a firm command of the Queen's English? Well, look no further. Back in the early 1990s, Billy Krause was the president, CEO, and chief laborer of Route 66 Lawn Care. And now, nearly 30 years later, and several what some might call character-building employment experiences later, he's back and ready to sweat for you. Could you use an extra hand with weed whacking, corporate IT systems oversight, lawn mowing, data center security protocols, yard raking, mortuary services, or leaf blowing? Look no further than Billy Krause. You can be assured he'll give you an honest day's work for about 18 bucks. So, whether your data center just got hacked by Chinese Communist Party, your retaining wall looks to be a bit saggy, or dear old Aunt Betty finally moved on from this earth, Billy's got a can-do attitude and the price point that raises absolutely no further questions. Call Billy. Ask him what $18 a day can get you. This is a satirical ad. No one is paying me anything. Although, for 18 bucks, you get Billy. Earl opens this episode by flipping the theme of happiness on its head. Instead of explaining to us how to live well, he explains almost playfully how to become professionally miserable. He suggests it's surprisingly easy. First, spend most of your time focused entirely on yourself. When that happens, the world starts to shrink down to the size of your own worries, aches, slights, and disappointments. And if you don't have much happening internally, Earl says, you'll begin to invent problems. You'll become convinced the world is working against you. Next, tell everyone you meet all about your troubles. Over time, people, they don't argue with you. They don't confront you. They simply just drift away. And that creates the perfect feedback loop. You feel abandoned, which proves the world is against you, when in reality, most people are just stepping back from the constant weight of someone else's misery. And just like that, you've built a career of being unhappy. Earl then shares a vivid parable. He imagines the devil holding a garage sale, laying out all of his tools, the sword of hatred, the noose of violence, and other obvious instruments of destruction. But high up on the shelf is one tool The devil refuses to sell. That tool is discouragement, because discouragement leads to self-pity. And self-pity quietly drains energy, ambition, courage, and hope, without needing force or confrontation. To counter this, Earl tells the story of a man named W.C. Stone. Stone had a simple response to almost any setback, or obstacle, or disappointment. He would just say, "Good." Not because the situation itself was pleasant, but because you never really know what a moment will become. What looks like a loss today might turn into an opportunity tomorrow. From that idea, Earl lays out a practical response to discouragement. First, look inward. Second, identify the opportunities hidden in the situation. Third, gain a new perspective on both the problem and yourself. The goal isn't denial, it's transformation. Earl then moves into a theme that feels almost counterintuitive. Failure is not a curse. It's an opportunity. There is no lasting success, he says, without failure. Failure teaches what comfort never can. It forges the tools that make improvement possible. In that sense, success becomes a kind of natural selection, not of people, but of approaches, habits, and ideas. The ones that work survive, and the ones that don't fall away. That's why Earl insists that we need dreams and goals big enough to pull us through the difficult seasons, because small goals tend to collapse under pressure. Earl closes this episode by referencing Claude Bristol's book, The Magic of Believing, and its use of the mythical city of El Dorado, which is the golden city people have searched across oceans and jungles for. Bristol's argument, Earl explains, is that El Dorado isn't a place on a map. It's a journey inward. Within each of us, he says, is the courage, strength, and endurance needed to reach what we seek. If we're willing to keep moving when things get hard, we can find that inner strength. What this episode leaves me with is the realization that misery and growth often start from the same place. Attention. If we aim inward toward grievance and discouragement, life tends to shrink. If we aim outward toward opportunity and meaning, life tends to expand. Maybe bad to good isn't about changing the world around us. Maybe it starts with changing the lens we use to look at it. Until next time, remember, the answers are older than we are and just as relevant today.